Welcome to Extravagant Mortals Podcast. My name is Manuela Higuera. I am the director, producer, and host. This is episode 5,
Queering the Arts.
We are listening to The Embrace, a composition by the Berlin-based DJ, producer, and label owner Orson Sibeting. I want to thank him for the material that we will be listening to throughout the podcast. My guests today are three international artists, the siblings Paula and Orson Sibeting, from Düsseldorf, Germany, and the visual artist and cinematographer Vera Hotchoglou from Athens, Greece. I will get into detail on these wonderful people later. We're coming to the end of this first season of this podcast. In the past two chapters that were transmitted also in Spanish, which is the language that I can actually properly speak, we spoke about Latin American identity, and where we place ourselves to talk about us. Without setting an absolute conclusion, the common concordance left identity as a place of flexible construction of political fictions to use strategically according to our agency. Extravagant Mortals is a podcast of cultural opinion, and the place where it is spoken of is mainly from the art field. The talks are based on the construction of culture from various perspectives: inclusion, the recognition of other types of knowledge, and feminism from a decolonial perspective. Thinking the cultural opinion from the decolonial invites us to question all forms of knowledge production, including feminism in several of its currents. Invites us to think and critique specifically white feminism. Although imported concepts for us, Latinx, such as intersectionality or queerness, had helped us to observe the places of oppression. But the philosophers and thinkers who are situated in colonized territories such as Latin America and the Caribbean find these concepts incomplete, without, of course, demeriting the contribution they have made to the construction of collectivities and feminist political projects. I will also get into that later. As I mentioned, the title of this episode is Queering the Arts, inspired by Gershon Avilés' essay Queering the Black Arts Movement, which questions the fact that resistance and revolution have also been phallocentric and heteronormative. In the Black Arts Movement that appeared parallel to the Civil Rights Movement in the 1960s, Leroy Jones will be the most predominant male figure. And although Jones' expressions set an important precedent in the resistance movements within the performing arts of the 60s and 70s, other bodies outside the norm resisted simultaneously.
Bodies erased by institutional history.
In episode 22 of the fourth season of the YouTube show directed by Ashley Acuna, The Grapevine, in which African Americans discuss relevant issues in community and identity building, a diverse panel of Black people from the LGBTQI+ community was convened. What came first? Homophobia or racism? With few exceptions, most of the panel participants, some of whom were born in ultra-religious communities, experienced homophobia as the first form of discrimination within their families and communities.
So, exposure to homophobia came before racism.
When it comes to a concrete realization of one queerness, spaces that were thought to be safe inside home become unsafe. It is only later in the public school environment that racial oppression begins to appear in the reality of these people. Before that, discrimination for not fitting into a normative type of behavior was the first thing that appeared in their lives. This is not necessarily linked to the personal knowledge and the understanding of what it means to be attracted to another person, but to the fact that there is something that is perceived as different. Forced into ostracism, triggered by their own communities, pushed into an over-surveillance of themselves, their clothes, and their manners, Black queer people often report being scared of the judgment of their own communities and families. The only ones who grew up free of this fear had close queer family or community members. They, for example, realized that their daily environment navigated by trans or queer folks was not normal, actually, when they became adults. We're listening to another Orson's track called Agadir. And coming up next, The Libero. I'm grateful and delighted for having Orson's music to accompany us in this episode. The party has always been a place of reunion and acceptance. It's not a coincidence all my guests in this episode are interconnected with the electronic music scene. As always, I will leave links and contacts for you to check the works of these selected artists. It's not casual, the space the body occupies in the works of these guests.
Dancing, expression and queerness are the tools they use to make a common on society dynamics.
The normative phallocentric structure permeates the cultural environment, and of course it wasn't the exception for the Black Art Movement. Avila's essay seeks to acknowledge the parallel creative processes and critiques to heteronormativity in the frame of the Black aesthetic from queer activists like Cheryl Clarke, Audre Lorde, Pat Parker, James Baldwin, among others. A non-normative sexuality perspective is an artistic tool to offer social and political critique. And then I quote, "Through them, we begin to see the historical and cultural landscape of Black Arts movement as being one deeply concerned with sex as a rhetorical figure for revolution and with the power of sexual non-normative, whether or not the artists were necessarily queer themselves." Clarke, for example, brings one of the key conclusions about the matter that proposes queer and non-normative corporalities not only as a necessary element of inclusion, but as an active, revolutionary, and assertive social actor claiming power. This is the inspiration to talk about what concerns us today in the cultural and political participation spaces. Queer started as a transformation and appropriation of a pejorative term, which sought to distance itself from marketable sexual identities. Queer was intended to be a post-identity term. To be queer is not to assert any identity.
Queer is a critical look at all the processes of identity construction.
And although the arrival of gender as a performance proposed by Judith Butler was revolutionary, the performative moved away from the materiality of the bodies. The trans then put in evidence the physical bodies, the violated and silenced bodies, and lands them in a reality beyond the performative. The disabled then, for some thinkers, becomes the great oops of the queer theory, for example. The search for new and more integrated political agencies oblige us to complete the proposed dialogues that arbitrarily exclude non-normative bodies. Today, the essence of queer is threatened by the capitalization of categories and identities. Today, queer often represents a white performative sexual elite. Queer, for some Latin American decolonial theorists, is the elitist refinement of some white sexual minorities who ignore, even without realizing, the possibility of including other non-heteronormative voices. Voices in the truest sense of the word queer. The critic of intersectionality in queer does not aim to eliminate or diminish the power of these postulates, but on the contrary, to highlight the place from which they were gestated to complete them with discourses that have historically been diminished by the norm. Intersectionality has been a term used even by the World Bank. So it's very important to note that appealing to institutional diversity and inclusion does not mean giving power to those voices. In the art world, the heteronormative model of the male genius still prevails. Even after many revolutions and proposals of open spaces, of new realities exposed, the galleries with women's names represent a trend of minimal, clean, rational, masculine, and effective art. Most of the men who occupy these spaces have no other political project but to enlarge their egos and take all possible spaces. Racialized women, Black people, disabled people, and sexual diversity are located in the peripheries of the big galleries. And I wanted to bring and quote an article by Kim Hart and Anna Louise Sussman I found in Artsy. The gender breakdown of artists listed on the websites of the 126 male-run galleries showing at Art Basel in Miami Beach is 75% male artists to 25% female artists, a ratio of 3 to 1. Female-run galleries show 66% male artists and 34% female artists, a ratio of 2 to 1. Overall share is 72% male and 28% female artists. Dealers rarely, if ever, cite gender or ethnicity or nationality or any other marker of identity as a factor in deciding to represent an artist. That notion is almost universally rejected. It is always and inevitably about the strength of the work. But the findings of this analysis in this article lend some credence to the aphorism. And I would agree with Laura Leeswood when she's saying that there is not such thing as a glass ceiling. There is just a thick layer of men.
Τοξικότητα. Τα φύλλα είναι δηλητηριώδη αν καταποθούν. Κρατήστε την μακριά από τα κατοικίδια ζώα και τα παιδιά. Extra tip. Τα νεαρά φύλλα του φυτού διαφέρουν από τα όρημα. Τα φύλλα με σχισμές εμφανίζονται στη συνέχεια όταν οι συνθήκες είναι ιδανικές.
We just listened to a fragment of Monstera. This is the sound of the last scene of this piece by my guest Vera Hotchoglu. Born and raised in Athens, Greece, she is an artist working with time-based media. She has a unique artistic language. Her films and photographic works offers a contemplation of the individual body and mind as a prism for the social body. Her pieces are memory documents with political engagement and poetic commentary. She is sending us her voice from Athens with her thoughts about the subject queering the arts.
Hello, Emanuela, and thank you for inviting me and having me in this podcast. In these mysterious times, it is important to raise our voice about what is happening at the moment in socio-political life globally, around the globe. A problematic that cannot leave the arts untouched and that brings to the surface a series of issues that are not yet solved or we had the illusion of being solved. In my last documentary short film Sweat, which is about the underground rave scene in Athens, I follow the paths of the two main figures, of the queer drag and club kid Reject 001 and DJ Fro. Two totally different characters who share the same passion for parties, rave music and dance. Rave music has a Dionysian state in which everybody is welcome without boundaries, genders and any kind of phobias or sexism. A music culture that tried to create safe spaces and shelters for queer bodies who want to sweat and get lost in the music. Outside this culture, things are a bit different. During their interviews, there have been many times that we were talking about the homophobia they have received on the streets, and I was also eyewitness of homophobic behaviors, misgendering, and actions against them. Both of them live in ghetto areas. Fro is lucky because he's popular and people know him. So somehow there is a respect for him. Because they know that even if he is wearing a lipstick, he is, in quotes, straight. But for Reject 001, things are not the same. Many times they must be careful of how they are dressed and in which streets they walk. It is proven that these aggressive behaviors towards queer persons come from persons who are insecure about their own masculinity, covering their fear of characterized as gay themselves. Continuing with my current work in progress, Monstera, the main video describes more or less the time we traverse. With our recent internment experience of a pandemic that no one was prepared for, in any direction, this world looks more like a bomb ready to explode. That is something that I can't ignore. The project's main concept is around the body. Bodies, in the majority queer bodies, which eliminate time and cannot a state of desire. Inertia bodies, which are in an expected pose, nearly impossible to move. With a sweet narration of how to take care and Monstera plan. A tropical plant that we have decided to place inside our houses, detaching it from its natural environment. The idea of this project came during the lockdown period and after the police brutality in USA, but also in Greece, especially in Athens, and Serbia. As the awake of the condition of lockdown, broken economy, broken healthcare, etc. In a world that has already grown under the white macho and patriarchal supremacy, and the prototype of the white macho explorer, this condition creates space for the extreme patriarchal and macho voices to take action in quotes, law and order terms. See the history of slavery. In the art field, there is a scandalous case of same in the academic world, the case of the black queer artist Ivan Ivekova at Goldsmiths. About the racial rights and the racist practices in work environment. Ivekova was one of the tiny fraction of people in color inside the uni that still stands bravely against the racist system and refuses to work anymore as a racialized individual. Just imagine being a queer person in color and try to survive inside an academic field when there is still so much sexism and homophobia and transphobia and whatever. And even for white queer women, the discrimination still exists. From my personal experience in the Athens School of Fine Arts, there was only one feminine professor in the whole university. So for my BA and MFA diploma show, I was just by around 25 men, most of them older than 50, to whom I was trying to explain issues about the queer body and what is queer about. Also, when the Black Lives Matter movement began, there were videos of black trans women hardly beaten because of their resistance along with other protesters, which it was a paradox and surreal image of discrimination and racism. A discrimination inside discrimination. So we arrive in the conclusion that what comes first is the phobia, in our case transphobia, homophobia, and then comes racism. You can imagine that the feeling for queer individuals of any origin to watch their sisters and brothers getting beaten is totally unbearable. There is fear, anger, sadness. Queer bodies, and especially in conservative or religious communities, they learn from a very young age how to act like cis persons in a heteronormativity context, and most of them don't manage to get through that. Even in the adult years, a trauma which is not always easy to recover from. Personally, when I see all these images again and again, I cannot overlook. Body is turning to a political field. In my artistic practice, there is a continuous ping-pong from physical to political and vice versa. All this derives from the dipole that I grew up with. From one hand, I was born and raised in Athens, close to the Acropolis. So my childhood from my school life till the University of Arts years was bombarded with Greek and Roman culture. As an Athenian, I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to see and touch the marble bodies, which from a close look, they were pretty queer and feminine. Male sculptures in feminine poses, female sculpture with huge muscles, and intersex sculptures divine for the ancient Greeks. In the other hand, I grew up in a very religious Christian Orthodox family, with all the guilt of understanding and loving my queerness and my queer body this means. I remember crying so much at the age of 10, the first summer I had to wear swimsuit because my breast has grown up and my biological sex was identified, while my male friends didn't have to. As we see, societies are not fair at all, and this exact realization lies the reason of further claim. Respect, love, and education, I will say. Education is left last, as unfortunately it is a white privilege, or a privilege in general. Being queer is not a fashion. Having LGBTQI plus friends, but being afraid of someone calling you gay doesn't make you less homophobic. Hiring women because you are a neoliberal doesn't make you feminist. Hiring persons in color because you want to look broad-minded and pay them less than the men or whites doesn't make you less racist. If you have the privilege of education, please read more, learn more, and listen more, and respect more.
Στο προάβλιο του σχολείου σε φίλησα για πρώτη φορά. Παίζαμε το μπαρ και εσύ μου έβαζες σφινάκια σοκολατούχο γάλα. Ήθελα να με λένε Γιώργο και εσένα να σε φωνάζω με το όνομά σου. Τα Χριστούγεννα σε ένα πάρτι των φίλων μας, μου κάρφωσες ένα χρυσό αστέρι που έκλειψες από το δρόμο και με φίλησες με γλώσσα. Νομίζω ότι αυτό το φιλί κράτησε 4 ώρες, ενώ ήταν μόνο 20 λεπτά. Μέσα στην ασφυξία μου είπες ότι δεν θες να φύγω. Famous last words. Το καλοκαίρι στην Αθήνα η μάνα σου με είδε να σε φιλάω στην πίσω μεριά της αυλής και το είπε στον πατέρα σου. Εκείνος με έσπρωξε και άρχισε να σε βαράει. Σε έβαλε να μου πεις ότι δεν θες να με ξαναδείς και εσύ δεν με ξαναείδες. Είμαι εντάξει. Πριν φύγω, να ξέρεις ότι φίλησα όλα τα κορίτσια της γειτονιάς. Στο δωμάτιό σου ένα βράδυ που το κάναμε, πήρα το τυρμπουσόν και χάραξα στην πλάτη σου τον αριθμό 2. Μου είπες να κάνω πιο σιγά για να μην μας ακούσει η μάνα σου. Ένιωθα ότι ήθελα να είμαι το 2 και όχι το 1. 2, όπως λέμε διπλή, όχι μονή, όχι μόνη. Άρχισα να κατηφορίζω και να κλαίω. Ήθελα να μην έχω μονή, να μας έχει ακούσει η μάνα σου. Ήθελα να έχω έναν ωκεανό, να πέσω. Να κολυμπήσω μέσα του. Τα νερά που κυματίζουν πάνω στο ξυλό της μπάρας είναι ζεστά. Χειμώνας πάλι. Μαριάν Μπούργκερ Στράσε 10, Πρέντς Λάουερμπεργκ, Μπαρ του Τζόνι. Εκεί βρίσκω τον εαυτό μου. Γιατί δεν σου αρέσω? Δεν σου αρέσω γιατί είμαι κορίτσι? Όχι. Μου αρέσεις γι' αυτό που είσαι. Κοιτάς το πάτωμα. Φεύγεις. Με αφήνεις πλέον εντελώς με την ανάμνηση. Το 5ο μπαρ. Σβήνω με μπύρα. Ο μπαμπάς πέθανε 4 μήνες πριν. Ο Απρίλιος είναι ο μήνας των γενεθλίων του μπαμπά. Ο μπαμπάς δεν ήξερε ότι μου αρέσει να φυλάω τα κορίτσια. Ο Απρίλιος είναι ένα ψέμα. Ο μπαμπάς έχει πεθάνει. Δεν μπορούμε να κρυβόμαστε πίσω από το δάχτυλό μας. Πάνε 6 χρόνια. Σε θέλω 1 εβδομάδα. Φιλάς τόσο ωραία. Υδρώτας ανάσα υγρά. Δεν με νοιάζει που είσαι κορίτσι. Θέλω να νιώθω τη γλώσσα σου στη γλώσσα μου. Θέλω να ενώσω τις ελιές στην πλάτη σου. Να σχηματίζουν όλους τους πλανήτες στον έναστρο ουρανό. Θέλω να πιάνεις το στήθος μου. Θέλω να φέρεις το καλοκαίρι.
I am Vera Hodzoglou, and thank you for listening. Bye from Athens.
This ambient sound is not a battlefield. It's Athens in Easter festivities. For the Christian Orthodox, this is a very important date.
It symbolizes the winning of Jesus in life, and it is happening because this heavy sound makes the bad spirit to go away. Vera told me everything was so much better when their god was Diaz, or Zeus, Theus, or Zeus. She also said,
"Fuck Christianity."
Thank you so much for your inputs, Vera. I will translate just a small part of her poem. One of the things that captivated me from Vera's work was the Greek language. And even if I don't understand it, I don't think it is necessary to translate the whole piece. The materiality of the voice is somehow enough. Set fire to the fifth bar. In the courtyard of the primary school, I kissed you for the very first time. We were playing the bar, and you were serving shots with chocolate milk. I prefer to call me George and call you by a name. In the Christmas party of our friends, you stole a light star from the streets and you struck me in my hair. Then you kissed me with tongue. I think this kiss lasts 4 hours, but it was only 20 minutes. Inside the asphyxia, you said, "Don't leave," famous last words. This summer in Athens, your mom saw us kissing in the backyard and she called your dad. He pushed me outside and then he started beating you. He forced you to say that you don't want to see me anymore. And you said, "I don't want to see you anymore. I'm fine." Coming up next, Paula Sivatting. She is a visual artist working in the field of lens-based media. She lives and works in Berlin and studied at the University of the Arts Berlin, CMU Pittsburgh, and Surikov Institute Moscow. She was a visiting lecturer to the Academy of Art Palestine in Ramallah and assistant professor at the Academy of Fine Arts Munich from 2016 to 2020, where I met her. With photography, video, and sound, she investigates the physical body as a bearer of historical narratives that shape contemporary discourse on the social body. By defining the body linguistically, as an alternative to words, she exploits the classical ideal of the body as locus of pleasure and power. She is attracted to extremes and socialized emotions. Something felt when the body switches between looking and being looked at, touching and being touched. Her images explore the body as an expressive element, the way we alter our behavior when we feel ourselves to be acting, performing, of just being. The next piece is a sonic insight into fragments collected by Paula, inspired by, directly quoted from, sometimes inaccurately translated, thought by, and borrowed from Ariel Azoulay, Judith Butler, Maya Deren, Federico Ferrari and Jean-Luc Nancy, Jan Janet, Christopher Isherwood, William James, Clarice Lispector, Carlos Monsiváis, Maggie Nielsen, Beatriz Preciado, Susan Sontag, Boaventura de Sousa Santos, and David Wojnarowicz.
We the Soundscape by Orson.
I am a camera with its shutter wide open. And as much as a window to the north promises the most even lighting, I value the darkness of shadows that are provoked by the glaring light of the south. Is the white cube actually a white territory? Someone once said that the ancients believed that light came from within the eyes, and that you cast this light upon things in the world wherever you turned. It's time to change the narrative. Our knowledge is not lofty, because it is bound to our bodies. Feeling and thinking form a symbiosis. Passage. It is precisely in the limbo of the passage that the nude turns out to be an infinite transit of sexual identities. Transit as a transition from a presence to a presence. As a passage from something that exists to something that exists. I do not want the female gender that has been assigned to me at birth. Neither do I want the male gender that transsexual medicine can furnish and that the state will award me if I behave in the right way. I don't want any of it.
We ought to say a feeling of if, a feeling of bad, and a feeling of by.
Quite as readily as a feeling of blue or a feeling of cold. Imagination remains private for as long as we hold it in reverse in our mind's eye and do not share it with others. In every act of communication with others, this privacy of the imagination is ruptured and its products intermingle with other products to take on a form that exceeds our own private reach. Something remains in the pending. Etwas bleibt in der Schwebe. Queer at that time was understood less as an identity than as a movement of thought and language that ran counter to its expected forms, opening up spaces of desire that were not always recognized in existing categories. In Lucha Libre, the body, even when it overflows at the waistline in a territorial invasion of sorts, offers integration and complicity. Therefore, its expressions of agony are by necessity sculpted. Camp taste turns its back on the good-bad axis of ordinary aesthetic judgment. Camp doesn't reverse things. It doesn't argue that the good is bad or the bad is good. What it does is to offer for art and life a different, supplementary set of standards. Querelle. All diese Querelles der Kriegsmarine. Schöne Matrosen. So süß wie wilder Hafer.
Was geht hier vor sich?
of a sudden, just like that, unexpectedly, she felt something strong inside her. Something strange that made her tremble a little. But it wasn't cold nor sad. It was something big coming from the sea. Coming from that taste of salt in her mouth and from her. From herself. When they invented the self, they invented the other. The sleepwalker travels in three directions at once. Down to the abyss, up into heavens, and inwards to the self. The direction is of no consequence. The three are all in the same place. It is his travel in the interior. Our times are not flat or concentric. They are transitions between what is no more and what is not yet. And what is not yet. We are the children of a passionate truth and a truthful passion. We know passionately that reality is not limited to what exists, and that much that does not exist is able and deserves to exist.
I'm deeply grateful with Paula and her brother Orson and Vera for accepting this invitation. Cultural Opinion is a space to make a comment using art and expression to communicate and touch sensibilities that sometimes just words cannot reach. My name is Manuela Higuera, and this was episode 5, Queering the Arts. I also want to thank Professor Marina Martinez for the seminar and the material. We tend to take always the US as an example for everything, and that's because pop culture also works like this, like a colonizer, without wanting it. But the reality is that the experiences around the globe from queer people, not only in the art field but in life in general, are delicate and extreme. The little and almost insignificant fight of some of us to get visibility and change the white cube dynamics has to go by hand with the big fight for respect and rights for all. This was the final episode of the first season of Extravagant Mortals podcast. I want to thank all my guests, listeners, and supporters. We're preparing new episodes with wonderful guests, we're bringing new people to the crew, and we will keep exploring the interaction between soundscapes and cultural opinion. We will take some time off, and you will hear from us back again in autumn. I will be happy to hear from you, to read your comments and suggestions. Want to contribute? Get in touch. Peace.
I know, but really, you don't know how it is to drive in Athens. It's playing a stage in Super Mario. You know this stage in Super Mario, in the video game when it was full with fires? With this